This writer has sent in two questions, which I would say are particularly welcome because they touch on the topic of how do we view awareness, how do we view consciousness. So I'm very pleased to comment in response. The first question, are we lacking in empathy if we feel contentment amongst all this suffering, or are we indeed being selfish? And that question arrived during the COVID crisis, and I think I omitted responding to it. The second question, which has just arrived, says, quoting from this Dhammakatha website, contentment is not the goal, contentment is the way. Is this referring only to personal contentment? For how can we be content with a world of greed, hatred, and delusion in which fellow human beings hate, maim and kill and despoil the very earth we share? Can we still respond to injustice whilst practicing contentment? Perhaps the place to start would be to quote the Buddha and the Dhammapada verses 197 and 198, which say, whilst in the midst of those who are hating, to dwell free from hatred is happiness indeed. And 198, whilst in the midst of those who are troubled, to remain untroubled is happiness indeed. And those two verses, to me, say, don't let your being be defined by the mind states of people around you. If we hear that from the perspective of being identified as our personality, the egotistical perspective, then we could use it to justify becoming even more inflated in our self-importance, which obviously would be a mistake. That's clearly not what the Buddha's pointing to. I would say he's pointing to taking full responsibility for your own life. If you're somebody who's been meditating for a while, and you've had the experience of how disciplined attention appears to lead to the mind becoming still and peaceful, you might think, I've done this, and then I made my mind peaceful. Another way, and I would say a more helpful way, is to say that by disciplining attention like this, deeper dimensions of awareness became accessible. The difference being that we haven't made the mind peaceful, we rather touched into deeper aspects of awareness. The most obvious and perhaps often used metaphor for this is likening awareness or consciousness to the ocean. So on the surface there can be tumultuous waves thrashing around very violently, and at the same time in the depths there is stillness and silence. The way we view awareness has a big influence on how we meet experience. The first model of I've got to make my mind peaceful and keep it peaceful, that's very limited. The second model of even when there's apparent turmoil on one level, there can be a memory or a perception of another aspect of our being, means that even if we're feeling disturbed, there's less chance we're going to be defined by it. This is really, really important. Another way of thinking about it would be like, for instance, if you're bilingual and you're a fluent speaker of English and fluent speaker of another language, say Italian. And so you go to visit Italy and you're sitting around and having a chat about this and that, and you understand the conversation. If you're not bilingual, you're sitting around with a group of people and they're all speaking Italian, and you maybe pick up the expressions of people or the tone of their voice. However, you don't really know very much. You're very limited in understanding. Or maybe it's like driving a car. I haven't driven a car for many years. Though if I needed to drive, I expect I would still know how to push my right foot down on the accelerator and lift my left foot off the clutch. Unless they've changed the way cars operate. I do still have a memory of my father teaching me to drive when I was about 16 years old, and it wasn't easy. Then once you learn it, once you really learn it in the body, once you know for yourself how to drive, you're not thinking about it. You're not sitting in the house thinking about how am I going to drive the car. You know how to drive the car. You don't have to keep reminding yourself you know how to drive the car. Or if you learn to speak Italian, you don't have to worry about going shopping in the market and not knowing how to communicate if you're confident you know how to speak Italian. Likewise, if you have developed a little meditation, then maybe you have a bit of experience of deeper aspects of awareness that are quiet and still. And as I was saying, that has a big influence on how you can meet experience. It leads to an agility of attention rather than a rigidity of view. For this reason, I would say that the discipline of attention or meditation is really essential. And maybe as humanity evolves, it becomes more obvious, just as like learning the times table or learning the alphabet are essential to survive. We're going to need to navigate consciousness. We're going to need to become more skilled. It'll be recognized as the essential tool for living as a human being. Although as it is, a lot of people don't have this agility, and then they get confused. They think, like, if you're being contented, then you can't be paying attention to the injustice of the world. Or if you're cultivating contentment, then you're selfish and lacking empathy. I would say it's the opposite. There's a better chance that you can be truly empathetic with somebody if you know, even to an initial degree, that suffering is relative, is not ultimate. If you have a perspective on it, then there's less chance you're going to get pulled into the vortex of suffering. If you're with somebody else who has been pulled into the vortex of pain and turned it into suffering, then to be with them in an empathetic way is a great gift. You're perhaps offering them a lifeline from experience, not just from your head, from deeper aspects of your being. What you say is going to be better informed. I do understand how attempting to talk to people about these matters when they don't have any experience can be very challenging. At the risk of sounding patronizing, maybe it's something like a parent talking to their teenage son or daughter who has fallen in love for the first time and then things didn't quite work out as they thought it might do in their intoxicated state, and they've had their heart broken. As a parent, you've been through that, and you know that it might feel like the end of the world, though it doesn't have to be that way. That knowledge makes a difference. For the teenager, being with them in an understanding way can make a difference. So cultivating consciousness or cultivating awareness, again, I would say, is essential. If we don't, we really miss out. It's like the rainwater running off the roof of our Dhamma hall. The water could just run off the roof and into the walls and cause damp problems in the building, or into the garden below and make the garden soggy. Or, as thankfully is the case, that water runs into the gutter, which has been constructed in a way it slopes in a direction into a container so the water can be saved and then made use of. Without that construction, without that effort, the potential benefit is lost. And likewise with consciousness, with awareness, if we don't cultivate it, the potential benefit for meeting life's challenges, the enormous challenges that we have to face as human beings, even if there aren't pandemics and wars and poverty and injustice happening, just living can be really challenging at times. If we don't cultivate consciousness, then we're really limited. So if you're going to accommodate this model of awareness as a multi-dimensional reality, I would say it conduces with agility. You're able to meet experience without being defined by that experience, your own or other people's experience. Another image that comes to my mind is like cleaning your teeth. You don't have to clean your teeth. However, if you do, there's a better chance that they'll last longer and you'll be free from the pain of tooth decay. So I'm really happy these two questions were asked, and the question referred in the beginning to that strap line on the Stomachadhar website, contentment is not the goal, contentment is the way. When I asked the web designer to include that on the landing page of the website, I wondered whether anybody would comment on it. It hopefully does encourage people to stop and think. Is the only kind of contentment worth having is that which arises when I get what I want, like I become contented? And then if that's the case, then we feel threatened by anything that causes us to feel discontented. Another way of understanding is to accommodate this model of potentially there being contentment always there if we can access it. So thank you again for the question, and I hope that's helpful.